Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm John Kamensky, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Jonathan Perlin, Undersecretary for Health at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining us in our conversation is Vernicia Lee. Dr. Perlin, I understand that the number of veterans enrolled and receiving care in the VA healthcare system has risen dramatically and continues to rise. What are the numbers now, and why are they increasing?
Well, John, the numbers today are out of the 25 million veterans in the country, about 7.6 million are enrolled with us for care, and in any given year, about 5.2 million will be patients. And there are a number of reasons that veterans are coming to us. I think first and foremost is that, as we like to say, we're not your father's VA. This is an organization that provides the highest quality health care. It's one of the few places in America where you can go see your doctor or nurse or pharmacist, and they all have your health records electronically, so you don't have to keep restating what your medical history is or wonder if everyone's got the information appropriately. And in fact, I say this not only because I'm proud of it. I am proud of the employees in VHA and the passion and their dedication to the mission of serving veterans. We have the ability, because we measure our performance, to say in numbers that can be verified, which others have published on, like the RAND organization, that the care in VA is the best that you can get in the country. In fact, that the RAND article that came out in December 21st, Annals of Internal Medicine, compared VA care to 12 other healthcare organizations, some of the best in the country. And the RAND authors, their conclusion, patients from VHA received higher quality care according to broad measure. And this was on 348 different indicators of quality in disease prevention and treatment. So the veterans who are coming to VA know it's perhaps the best kept secret in the country. Besides that, we also know that we've changed. We know that it's tremendously important to veterans to be where veterans are. And 10 years ago, we were a hospital system. Today, we're a health system. It's much better care because the focus is on health prevention, health promotion, and disease prevention. And this model means that we have many outpatient clinics where we can work with veterans to help them maintain their health and manage chronic disease. As well, candidly, we have a very robust prescription benefit. It's one of the best deals around. So much of medicine today is managed with pharmaceutical prescriptions that veterans find the ability to have a high-quality health system, which has their full electronic health record, which, by the way, and maybe we can talk about this later, they can now dial into through something called My Healthy Vet, the veteran's personal health record, and put all of that care in a friendly environment that's oriented toward the needs of veteran, together with the pharmaceutical benefits that really round out the care. We think those are the main reasons. Easy access, high quality, good information, and a veteran-centric, patient-centered environment.
Thank you so much, Dr. Perlin. You've just given us a lot to think about. You talked about, early in the segment, about providing better service, veterans coming first. You also just talked about easy access. I know you have a lot of initiatives within VHA. Can you talk to us about CARES?
Yeah, CARES, thank you, Vernicia, for that question. CARES is one of those great governmental acronyms that stands for Capital Asset Realignment for Enhanced Services. And my favorite part of this is the ES, Enhanced Services. In fact, we, in the late 90s, were accused by the General Accounting Office, or I guess it's now the Government Accountability Office, of spending millions of dollars on maintaining unused space. And we take care of twice as many veterans today as we did a decade ago. We need to make sure that our facilities and our resources are where the veterans are. And so by helping to evaluate some of the sites that were underutilized, we're able to redirect funds into the areas and needs of today's veterans. For example, the Secretary and I just were proud to be at the ribbon cutting in Chicago at the Heinz VA Medical Center, where we've just opened a brand new spinal cord injury unit and a new blind rehabilitation center. And in fact, using the proceeds of closing one of four hospitals, literally within a few miles of each other in Chicago, we're able to be building a new 300-bed bed tower, 21st century environments for 21st century veterans offering 21st century care. So CARES is a process wherein we're evaluating our portfolio and saying, what is the most effective, most efficient, most patient-centered way to provide the care to veterans. In Chicago, the ability to look at ourselves critically and say, okay, for tertiary referral or for major hospitals within a few miles of each other is, I'm sure, less efficient than having fully staffed programs with high enough volumes to provide the highest quality and the proceeds of being able to close one of those facilities allowed us to open two new specialty care centers, blind rehabilitation and spinal cord injury, and begin our way on putting up a new 300-bed bed tower. We consider that the down payment on the CARES process, which is looking around throughout the rest of the country with the outcome intended to be just like that, the ES of CARES, the enhanced services for veterans.
Thank you so much. Can you also, I know VA is focused on a lot of special interest areas as it relates to veterans' health. You talked about spinal cord injury. Are there other special emphasis areas that you focus on that you'd like to share with us today?
Well, thank you very much for that that question, because the VA, I don't think it's perhaps fully appreciated, has been the leader in defining a number of fields. Some have to do with rehabilitation of individuals who experience serious injury and service to their country, such as spinal cord injury. But VA is also a world leader in blind rehabilitation, as I mentioned. It's also a great leader in the care of amputees. Amputation technologies in VA are absolutely state-of-the-art. Let me mention some of the things that are being developed. One that I am tremendously excited about. I think most people today know about something called the cochlear implant, which allows people who have damage to their outer ear function to have a chip installed that receives the sound and translates that into electricity that the brain can pick up and translate into hearing. One of the things that's going on in Atlanta is development of the artificial retina. And this sounds like science fiction, but it's real. This is a chip that can be implanted in the eye. And it actually, like a video camera, responds to light and color and shape in the environment. And it translates that, just like a video camera, into an electric signal. And that electronic signal goes to the nerves. And lest you think this is science fiction, it's been implanted in 10 patients with macular degeneration, one of the diseases of an aging population. And this is VA's other contribution. Beyond expertise in traumatic injury rehabilitation, the specialty of geriatrics and gerontology really grew up, the care of older people. That specialty really was developed in VA. And one of the areas I'm most proud of is VA's leadership in mental health care. Mental illness is a societal challenge. In fact, this is a very exciting era. The president chartered a commission to see what improvements might be made during his administration in the care of individuals with disabilities, and this was called the New Freedom Commission. And there was a section on mental illness and mental health care. And the goals of this commission and our goals in VA are to move our thinking from a model of maintenance of individuals with illness to a model which really has as its goal full recovery, reintegration into social roles. And we believe with some of the new developments and new drugs available that we can contribute to the aspirations of helping Americans with challenges to their mental health regain as much function as possible and sometimes even complete recovery.
Thank you. What is evidence-based research and how does VHA use it to provide the best possible care to veterans?
Well, Vernicio, thank you very much for the question on evidence-based research. It really grows from a concept called evidence-based medicine, wherein the medical decision-making is made based on formal review of the literature. Now, this is a fairly new approach, and that probably sounds a little frightening. And to those of us who trained before this term, which is about 15 years old, came about, we always wondered, well, what were we doing previously? Random acts of medical care? But in fact, evidence-based medicine is a discipline where the literature is formally reviewed using criteria to say, okay, how do you weigh this article, which looks at a case report on a patient, which this article, which comes from a study of a large number of patients, but retrospective, with this article, which looks at a large trial where one, which we call a placebo-controlled randomized trial, and where one arm gets the treatment and the other arm doesn't get the treatment. And these different types of approaches to research have inherently different power or predictive power in terms of determining how good the treatment, if that's what's being studied, is likely to be in a particular population. And so one case report on one individual is obviously very, very different than the power of what we call a double-blind placebo-controlled trial. And the ability to generalize from the one case report to the entire population is very, very different from a large study. And so evidence-based medicine actually looks at these different types of research and says, okay, what is going to be the most successful approach to actually providing care, not in a trial, but to real patients in the real world? And this is one of the great things about our electronic health record and our clinical decision support is that there are 10,000 new articles a day that go on to the National Library of Medicine's index, something that's available, by the way, to all consumers as PubMed. But even to expect your doctor to be able to read 10 articles a day, let alone 10,000, is unrealistic in this information age. And so we need tools where we can synthesize all that literature so we bring the patient the state-of-the-art care. And that approach is called evidence-based medicine, making sure that when we make clinical decisions, they're really backed by the best evidence possible. And the electronic health record helps to make that clinical decision support available in real time while the doctor or nurse practitioner or physician's assistant or psychologist or any health professional is actually working with the patient.
How is VA moving away from facility-centered healthcare to patient-centered healthcare?
I love that question because when you go to the doctor or a hospital and you think about where your records are, like most Americans, you probably think they're scattered all over the country. Your health record, ironically, is hardly about you in 2005. It's more about the institutions that provided care to you. And that's really wrong. Health care today and in the future really has to be about the patient. The information has to follow the patient. The information has to be available when the patient wants it and where the patient wants to receive their care. And so our system is increasingly designed not to orient around the facility's needs, and the facilities means to organize care and the delivery of care, but around the patient's needs. And we hear the term patient-centered care often bandied about, and it's sort of a buzz phrase now for friendly care. Let me tell you exactly what I mean when we say patient-centered care in VA. We mean care that not only builds in safety as a system property, we mean care that's not only consistent, reliable, and builds in quality as a system property, but we mean care that's compassionate. Care that integrates across health and disease, but also across diseases. Think about the patient with diabetes and heart failure, two diseases that often occur together. And think about that patient who in 2005 might have, in one context, their diabetes managed by an endocrinologist and a diabetes case manager or disease manager, and their heart failure managed by a cardiologist and another. This is the same patient. It's not very patient-centered if you're having your care in this kind of uncoordinated manner. Our goal is to make sure that the care integrates across health and disease, disease and disease, and environments of care, be it the hospital, the clinic, or the home. And to facilitate truly patient-centered care, our electronic health record, which exists throughout all of our hospitals and clinics and long-term care settings, and even associates with our personal health record, which is available to the patient, the veteran, in their home, follows the patient. And that's really where we're headed with the health record, is the information is not about the facility, not about the location, not about the disease, but about the patient. And that allows all the people who may interact with the patient wherever and whenever to really focus on the patient. Goal for true patient-centered care, safe, effective, high-quality, compassionate care.
That's really fascinating. How VA cares for our vets is very interesting. How has the Veterans Health Administration reduced the number of medical errors? We'll ask Dr. Jonathan Perlin, Undersecretary for Health at the Department of Veterans Affairs, to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.